In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. We thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast, which is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And I trust that you've had a good evening or a good night's rest and waking refreshed to serve our Lord today. My name is Ken Keltner. I'm the pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. I'm happy to have Pastor Wade Cool and our administrative pastor with us as we continue our march through the book of Joshua and the conquest of the land of Canaan. Thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here and looking forward to what we're going to learn from the next chapter.
And before we get into that, we just have a couple of announcements as far as what's taking place at Brookside. We're coming up on this Saturday and Sunday of our program of Christmas with our choir and a drama. And that will take place this Saturday night at 7 o'clock and following Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Our services here at Brookside in the morning, Sunday mornings, are 9 and 10:15. We do have classes for children, for teens, and young adults. And so trust that if you don't have a church home, you'll come over and join us. And then 6 o'clock this Sunday night will be our Christmas program put on by our adult choir and those in the drama. Pastor Wade, if you would just help us out with Christmas Eve and what's taking place on Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, always a special time at Brookside. We're going to have a candlelight service at 4 p.m., and we're going to close that service with the lighting of candles. Each one have a candle and sing appropriate Christmas carols that relate to our Savior's birth and the light that He is coming into the world. And then Sunday, Christmas is Christmas Day. And because it is, we're going to have one unified service rather than 9 and 10:15, which is our usual practice. We're going to have one morning service at 10 a.m., and then no evening service so we can spend time with our families. I hope that you'll avail yourself of these opportunities. Come visit us at Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road, about a mile north of Capitol Drive.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wade. And as we come into chapter 11 of Joshua, this would, I guess if I wanted to give it a title, it'd be No Shortcuts. Victory is only going to come one way, and that's God's way. And as we've seen thus far, there is never any enemy too strong for God when we do it God's way. And so the Lord has raised up Joshua. He was the understudy of Moses for so many years. He and Caleb were the only ones that got into the promised land because of their faith and their obedience to the Lord and giving the message that God will allow us to take the land when the other 10 spies said, no, they're too great for us. And so the Lord raised up Joshua, he took over for Moses, to stem the tide of evil in Canaan and to prepare a place for the children of Israel to settle without the influence of paganism and idolatry surrounding them. And they did a great job under Joshua's leadership. If we get into the book of Judges, we'll find it didn't go so well. They were influenced by, again, the idolatry and the paganism of these other nations. But at this point, they're having victory because God has raised up Joshua, and Joshua is following the Lord's direction. You know, great times call for great men to step forward and to lead. And Joshua was great because of his fearless faith in God. Pastor Wade, back in history, in the 1930s, England was permeated with an attitude of defeatism and pacifism. Millions of lives had been lost in the trenches of World War I, and the reaction to any more war was aggressively opposed. And as Hitler and the Nazis came to power and advanced toward their borders, England was dispirited without resolve, and one man stood in the way of Germany's advance. On June 18, 1940, France fell to Hitler's armies. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England, went on the radio and he said these words, "Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire. Hitler knows that he will have to break us on this island or lose the war." If we stand up to him, all Europe may be free, and the life of the world may move forward into broad sunlight uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world will sink into the abyss of a dark age made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves for our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth lasts for 1,000 years, men will say, this was their finest hour. These words by Churchill aroused a fighting spirit in England. We know the outcome. Here, God was fighting for Israel, and the fight was not simply about the settling of the land, but it was a holy war of righteousness for God. You know, the secularists of the world love to attack the book of Joshua. They like to ask, well, how can a loving God allow so much killing and bloodshed? How can God, if he is kind, allow such devastation? Well, the wars recorded in the book of Joshua are God's wars, not Israel's or Joshua's. God had given Joshua precisely directions for victory and slaughter of the enemy, and there were no shortcuts. Joshua and Israel were to be the executioners of God's judgment on the wicked Canaanites. I mean, these Canaanites were involved in all sorts of unspeakable evil. There is war and bloodshed in the Old Testament because God is a champion of righteousness and holiness, and he will purge the world of its opposition to him. And friends, I got to say, there's a war right now that you and I are engaged in daily, and it's the war between the flesh and the spirit. And it's so intense to the point that Paul confessed that the presence of sin dwells in him, there in Romans chapter 7, and that doing right is often difficult. And I can tell you, our victory over flesh will only come as we walk in the Spirit of God. Israel's victories over their enemies would only come as they lived obediently and followed God's instructions with no shortcuts. For Joshua, there's victory only one way, and that's going to be God's way. And that's true for us today as it was for Joshua. God wanted the pollution of sin and wickedness cut off because he knew if it weren't that Israel would slide right into that type of idolatry and wickedness. And that will happen with us today. If we don't imitate God's holiness, we're going to slide right into the slime of the sin of this world and our flesh. And victory is going to only come one way. And God's power is on display again as he delivers victory to Israel now over the northern coalition. And God's power must also, friends, be displayed in us. So as we begin chapter 11, the first 10 verses really demonstrate for us that this is going to be a declared victory. At the end of chapter 10, we see Israel and Joshua are back in Gilgal. Now, Gilgal, if you remember, that's the place where they've set up camp right after they crossed the Jordan River. Gilgal was that rallying place. It was a reminder of God's blessing. If you remember, they had built a monument of stones that they had written the law on those stones, and it was to be a memorial to God and his provisions. And so in Gilgal, Joshua received new instructions and encouragement from the camp, there at the camp from the Lord. For the camp at Gilgal is a rallying place for the people of God to continue to move forward. But before we move on to see God's instructions to Joshua concerning the Northern Federation, may I just say that God has given you and me a rallying place as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that place is going to be at the church. And I trust your church, our church here at Brookside, be a place that not only we come to corporately worship God and learn his word, but that we may be equipped for the battle. I think, Pastor Wade, what is so disheartening for me is watching believers live as though we're not in a battle.
Yeah, the very fact is that we are in a battle, and that battle is rages around us, and we can't always see it. We can't see it with our eyes. But Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these unseen spiritual, when I say spiritual, I mean ungodly, devilish forces, individuals that are seeking our destruction, seeking to frustrate God's plan of redemption. And this is happening all the time. Satan is the prince of this world, and he's using the world to defeat us.
Through distractions, through just a blatant sin and immorality. I mean, it's all over the TV networks. In fact, Peter lets us know we're in this battle, and he says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
And you go, well, what is the battle? I mean, what's he trying to defeat us with? Well, he's trying to make sure that we don't further the kingdom of God by opening our mouth and sharing with someone how they can know they can live with God eternally one day.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say, if you're not regular in your attendance at church, may I encourage you to be so, you know, to be active. Don't just be sitting on the sideline there. Get involved and be engaged for the Lord. And God knows what we need this time because the battle is intense. As we get into these first five verses of chapter 11, I got to ask this question. Have you ever wondered why the writer spends so much time going into such detail about the different kings and ethnic groups opposing Israel and the descriptions of the locations? Well, I guess the answer really to that would be if God didn't do that, the text would lose some of its punch because of the hardships Joshua and Israel faced. As we read this account of Jabin, the king of Hazor, Joshua and the people of Israel are up against it. The massive resources available to these groups of people make the power of God, as one author said, shine more brightly in delivering his people from the hands of their enemies. So just as in chapter 10, the southern coalition of these nations gathered, here we're told the northern coalition gathered, and the northern campaign is going to be opposed to Joshua and Israel also. And this northern campaign came with a carefully designed plan led by Jabin, king of Hazor, the most important city in the north. He's the head. Six nations come together, and they come together at the waters of Merom. And they're going to cover four regions, mountains, Arabah, south of Galilee, the western foothills, Dor, possibly close to the Mediterranean. And the enemy here had a huge numerical advantage. We're told in verse 4, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude. Josephus, a historian, records the numbers that their army was at least 300,000 foot soldiers, 100,000 cavalry, 20,000 chariots. I mean, they had a great, huge military advantage, and it was impressive. And Israel and Joshua are going to see God again do a great work. And I'm sorry that we have to end so quickly again today, but you join us as we continue our study as Joshua is going to go through and defeat these northern kingdoms again because of the hand of God. I trust you have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.